welcome back to the program. Coming up on the program, I'm going to share with you this idea that I have. I have this idea. And I don't ordinarily fall in love with my own ideas. But I have an idea that I have kind of fallen in love with. And I want to share it with people to see if we can't get this thing off the ground. It's an activism idea. And I will bequeath it to you a little bit later on in the program. A lot of vapor has been expelled over something that happened yesterday, and that was a story that was posted that the Pope declared there was no hell. He doesn't get to do that, by the way. The Pope doesn't get to declare that there's no hell. And now, of course, on the Drudge Report today and all over the place, it's just, you know, it's, the story is blowing up. The Vatican didn't deny it. They didn't confirm it, but they didn't deny it. They issued what I can only describe as one of the most political consultant style statements I think I've ever seen come out of that organization. But in any case, it's causing the left to cheer. I mean, it's already become political, and it is already being used to claim that all kinds of different reimaginations of Christianity are okay. And I have Duke Pesta on the program, University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, a professor of classic literature, and somebody who actually understands the importance, not of the flex, just like the Constitution. You can't have the Constitution be reimagined by politics all the time. If you begin reimagining the Christian faith, and I do mean reimagine, not actually change it, but reimagine it to try to weaken it. Imagine what you can accomplish, Duke Pesta, both with regard to knowledge, people's understanding of morality, and also the future of things like constitutional republics.
Well, it's not what they could accomplish. It's what they already have accomplished. I mean, I think it goes without saying that we have really the first social justice pope. He grew up in the fever swamps of Marxist theology in South America, which was the hotbed of this kind of radical leftist theory. It's also, by the way, the social justice Marxist theory that people don't realize, before it influenced the colleges, it influenced the seminaries. So in the 60s, when the colleges were becoming anti-war and anti-American, anti-Western culture, already the great theological Catholic seminaries of the world had been, and I use the word decidedly, inseminated by this kind of very vulgar Marxist materialism. And people also don't like to acknowledge the fact that the generation of priests that is most responsible for abuse of children is that generation that was trained in these Marxist seminaries, more or less. And so we now have a pope from that part of the world, and not just a pope from that part of the world. We have a social justice pope who replaced a staunch, old-school, conservative, dogmatic pope. Benedict was a orthodox pope. He was one who stood by the eternal verities of the church. And so under utterly suspicious and still not explained circumstances, Benedict, who's still alive, by the way, and still perfectly intellectually cognizant, he walked away, not evidently because of age and certainly not because of enfeeblement. He walked away from the pontificate to allow this individual to be elected. And it's a story we have no answer for, Vicky. We don't know why. There's got to be a reason, and certainly the Vatican is not going to tell us. But there's a reason. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, and in the time that this has taken place, we have seen Catholic universities embrace decidedly un-Christian teachings. I mean, we've got one at Holy Cross. Now, this is the second story from Holy Cross, with a professor of theology who is teaching, not preaching, but teaching the queering of Christ. He says Jesus is a drag queen. Jesus was engaged in homosexual activity with the apostles. I mean, all things that, and that is the nicest way I can say it, because he's actually much more vulgar than that. And he's a professor of theology.
Vicky, he's not just a professor of theology. He is the chair of New Testament studies. He is the chair of oversees all New Testament studies at Holy Cross, which is to say the entirety of Christian dogma. The whole New Testament is in the hands of this really radical anti-Christian, and that's what it is. If you're using Christian the Christian narrative, if you're using Christian stories, if you're using the church fathers and the long-established history of Roman Catholicism, if you're using that to preach homosexuality, to undermine gender, to rewrite the laws and rules of the church from your own homosexual perspective, if you're doing that, then you are certainly an apostate and a heretic. And yet, Holy Cross's response to this is, wow, isn't it wonderful that this professor is bringing a brand new theological vision to go alongside the old ones? But this is the same school, right, Vicky, Holy Cross?
Yes.
Who just recently killed their mascot, the Knights, not the Crusaders, the Knights, because Knights fought Crusades. Because
it's also the same school, I believe,
right,
that penalized a student for refusing, as a male student, for refusing to take a second seat, not speak unless he's spoken to, and reject the idea of gender privilege and all of these other types of things in a class. Then we have Marquette, of course, and Marquette right now has, at least so far, successfully dismissed a professor because a professor thought he should be able to defend a student for defending traditional marriage at a Catholic university. So this is what has become of supposedly religious schools, and there's a reason for this. There's a historical reason how this has become a problem. And it's almost as if either, you know, various different types of Christian faiths don't want to address this problem, or they are to the point where they don't know how, because they fear the mob. They fear the social shaming. They fear losing members, maybe. Maybe, this sort of soft view of Christianity that says, oh, don't worry about sin. No matter what happens, you're still all going to heaven. And now you got the Pope saying, well, maybe there's not a hell. I mean, this is, you almost wonder if the sort of pop Christianity that seems to have replaced any kind of traditional understanding of moral rules is partially because people have just been encouraged to abandon churches all across America.
Yeah, I personally believe, and it's not just a Catholic Church problem. I believe that Western churches of almost all denominations, they're on a suicide path. This is all self-inflicted. They've given up again and again and again every moral boundary. I mean, look, one of the primary purposes of religion, whether you like it or not, or any spirituality, is rules. I mean, you can argue that Buddhism, right, is church-free, and yet Buddhism has some of the most stringent rules against diet, against fasting, for fasting, and against renunciation of the world, of any religion. And one of the premises of religion, the purpose of religion, is to set boundaries, moral boundaries that help us focus on God and leave worldliness behind. And certainly the Roman Catholic Church, but all the churches have opted to avoid that because the entire culture has gone boundary-free under this social Marxist dogma. And so the churches have decided that it's more important to cater to people who have this cafeteria attitude. The Catholic Church has just been bleeding congregants in America, and they're either going to the lower church Protestant with the more charismatic churches, which still believe in sin, or they're just abandoning religion altogether. And so what these churches are arguing is that better to try to minister to these broken souls by not enforcing our rules than to hold fast our rules.
You know, I would argue that before anybody concludes that people are abandoning churches because they're too inflexible, is to suggest that maybe people are, this has been going on for a couple of decades now, that people may be abandoning churches because they are too flexible. In fact, I was speaking with a Methodist reverend about 3 months ago who said he was losing people from his church, not because they weren't flexible enough, but because everything goes. And that's not what people were seeking out. They were not seeking out a place where just everything goes. And so that's, I wonder if there isn't more people seeking out true wisdom and ways to find truth and can't find it in many of these sort of, updated pop Christian organizations.
I think this part of that's true probably for the older generation. I was thinking of that recent survey that came out a couple weeks ago that demonstrated that overwhelmingly millennials were anti-church. And when they were asked what they associated church with, what did they think of when they thought of church, the very first thing, like 60-something percent of them, the very first thing they thought was anti-gay. Right, and so this group was a very big survey of millennials who associate church going with anti-gay, and of course, it shows you how powerfully the gay lobby has won the discourse in
well,
this country.
Well, you've got Holy Cross teaching the queering of Christ.
That's right, exactly.
That's the quote, by the way. That's not my quote. That is the way it's being described by the left.
Yeah, he's being praised on campus for doing that.
And this is, of course, as we're coming up on Easter, it's just yet another example. There's no realm of your life, of your thoughts, of anything that the left does not believe needs to be changed in its own image. That is just simply true. I don't care if it's your kids. Kindergarten education, we've talked about the hypersexualization of kids. I don't care if it's church or movies or television or books or tweets. That's, the left says everything is politics. And they have done a pretty good job, and certainly not just in the last couple of years, but over decades, to pretty much make people start behaving like everything is politics.
Well, and it's not just politics. The politics is reflexive of this, I think. But it's the argument that if, to the degree there is a God, even many Christian churches, you can't tell there's a God. But even if there is a God, he cannot be a God that has any standards. He cannot discriminate between the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. God would never, if he exists, actually punish people who refuse him. And so I think that's the dogma, I think, that gives rise to this politics that there is no hell. You mentioned it's Easter week. It's Easter week, Vicky. Well, just think about this for a second. If there is no hell, then there are no consequences at death that are negative, at which point the resurrection itself becomes utterly meaningless, right? What did Jesus resurrect from? From a Catholic perspective, why bother with the sacrament of confession? Confess what? There's nothing you can do or say that would merit hell or separation from God. So separation goes, so confession goes away. And then why be baptized? Because God's going to save all of us regardless, right? Because God doesn't discriminate, and there's no place to send people who are unbaptized anyway. So baptism goes away. And marriage, do you really need to marry? Can't you have as many husbands and wives as you want? Can't you have polyamory? If indeed, again, there are no consequences for sin. A simple, stupid little statement like that.
Oh, it keeps going. You can keep going and going and going and going.
Yep.
You can go beyond any of the things you've said into true depravity. I mean, you can get to the point where, we are just... I mean, animalistic. You can justify all manner of things. I noticed that a few weeks ago, one of the more popular atheists out there was suggesting that we start to engineer and begin eating meat,
yeah.
Human meat. And, that goes away. Any kind of taboo against consuming human flesh, that's gone. All of these things just disappear. But the left, this is Marxism begins with an understanding that there isn't a God. If you're a Marxist, I remember being in my social theory class, Marxist social theory class way back in the day, and questioning the professor about how he got from one point to another, and he said, well, that's a leap of faith. And I recall saying, well, we got rid of God. This is Marxist.
Yeah,
got rid of God, and so we don't get to have leaps of faith.
Yeah, and I would say at closing here, that Marxism is a purely godless material philosophy. The purpose of the church throughout history has been to stand athwart the material world, not succumb to it.
Good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thanks very much. Happy Easter to you, Duke Pesta. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. Every single element, every one, the left wants control of politically with its underlining radical philosophy. And a whole bunch of people just didn't see it creep up on them. You know, years ago, I heard the phrase, and I first heard it used by Rush Limbaugh. This must have been now 15, 20 years ago, or used the phrase. He may have gotten it from someone else. I don't know. But that's where I first heard it. Creeping incrementalism. And that's what you see. So now you see sort of big steps, big jumps to radicalism, and you can't comprehend how this makes sense to anybody. You see David Hogg out there calling anybody who supports the Constitution a murderer. And you're thinking, what the hell? Nobody's paying any attention to him. This isn't influential. Nobody listens to this kid. Well, seven advertisers just spelled off a Laura Ingraham show because, yeah, they do. How'd we get here? Well, it crept up on us. It was little things here and there. In the case of the churches, it was the churches saying, oh, geez, we're losing some membership here. You know, people are trying to do other things on Sundays. Maybe we should just make it a softer, gentler kind of church so that we're not quite so judgy. That happened years and years ago. It was the insinuation of different types of social politics and education. It was the press becoming more and more powerful. It was media becoming more ubiquitous. It's not any longer that people used to have to set aside some time to go to the movies. I mean, you have streaming entertainment on your phones. So it happened over a long period of time, but you know, notice where we are. Be right back.